Hello, good morning. This is Rick Pena, and I'm bringing you today's word for July 12th, 2021. I know it's the summer. I know people are going on vacation. I'm ready for some vacation myself, but I also thank God for the ability to come to his word on a daily basis. And so it's a Monday morning. We're going to set the tone for the whole week with the word of God. We've been studying a series entitled Leveling Up with the Word. And this whole concept of leveling up, I wrote a book entitled Level Up Your Life. This whole concept of leveling up has come from God declaring new levels over the season. And since God has declared new levels, that means that the grace of God is made available for new levels. And since the grace is there, our faith can be there. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So since God is saying new levels, then now we have to release our faith, where faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10 and 17. So for us to increase our faith, we really got to get the word down in our heart. So we've been leveling up our lives by going back to the word of God. We've been studying the parable of the sower. I trust that has been a blessing to you. We've been studying this parable for months, and this week we're going to wrap it up. So if we are going to level up, we're going to level up with the word. So that said, once again, we've been in this parable of the sower for months. We've been pulling out things from it. There's layers and layers and layers of revelation in it. And so as we pull out some more things this week, I'm just going to provide you, as I close out the series, a series recap. So this is Leveling Up with the Word, series recap number one, because there's so much to pull out of this as we close. And so I'm going to give you a series recap number one today. I'll give you a few more, and then we'll close out this series this week. You ready? I trust that this series has been a blessing to you. All right, so if this series has been a blessing to you, then leave me some comments in the chat. I definitely appreciate that. There's so much in here. When I got to the parable of the sower, Mark chapter 4, verses 13 through 20, and I told you that this was going to take us months to go through this. I know some people are like, months? There's only a few verses. But there's layers and layers and layers of revelation in the word. Honestly, I could keep going. But the Lord was like, no, that's enough. Let's wrap this thing up. Let's move on to the next thing. All right. So Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, the Bible says, the farmer, this is Jesus speaking. The farmer is like someone who takes seed. The seed is the word of God. He sows it down inside of people, into the soil. The soil is us. And sometimes the seed falls along the side of the road. That's like the people that hear the word of God, but their understanding is unfruitful. And because they don't understand it, they're susceptible to Satan. And Satan comes immediately, snatches away the word that was sown in their heart. Other people are like the seed that's planted on rocky ground. These are the people that hear the word of God. The Bible says they quickly and gladly accept it. So they high-five their neighbor. They say, amen, pastor. They get super excited when they first receive the word of God, but they do not allow the word of God to go deep into their lives. As a result, when trouble comes, persecution comes because of the word that they heard, they're quick to give up. Other people are like the seed that's planted amongst the thorny ground. These are the people that hear the word of God, but they've allowed their lives to become full of other things. Jesus gave us three categories of other things. He said the cares of this world, the worries of this life, the love of money, or everything else they want. They have this lust for other things. And because of that, these other things grow up like weeds, and the weeds choke out the word, and the word doesn't work. And then other people are like good ground. Say good ground. Yes, other people are like good ground. These are the people that receive the word of God. They rid their heart and mind of all distractions. They allow the word of God to do what it does. And then the word produces sometimes 30 times more, sometimes 60 times more, and sometimes 100 times more. And you and I, we're after 100. I've been teaching you even how to get to that 100, right? That I'm going to hold on to what God said until I see the fullness of what God said. I'm not going to settle for anything less than what God said. All I want is what God wants for me. I'm not going to settle for 30. I'm not going to settle for 60. I want 100. Say amen to that. All right. So what does this mean for you today as it relates to going back and just thinking about this whole parable and a series recap? So I'm gonna give you six things this morning on this Monday morning. This is where I need you to rid your heart, your mind of all distractions. Lock in six things. Number one, here we go. You ready? Number one, the power that lies within the word of God. In this parable, the emphasis is on God. The emphasis is on the seed. And so you have the sower, you have the seed, and the sower and the seed, boom, are trying to make a difference in the soil. So the power that lies within the word of God is available to everyone who receives it. And so the whole thing about the soil being the varying results coming because of the varying types of soil, there's only one sower constant. There's only one seed constant. the variables are the soil, and we are the soil. And so the power of the word is constant. The power of God is constant, and it will work for everyone who receives it, believes it, and applies it. So this parable is putting a tremendous level of emphasis on God and his word. And this emphasis is justified because I told you on Friday that our lives should be all about him. When your life is all about him, when your life is what he about him, what he's called you to do for such a time as this, when you're putting the emphasis on God and his word and what he speaks to you, and your life is not about you or selfish desires, and you're not consumed with the cares of this world, and you're not consumed with what's going on in the news, you're more focused on what God is saying to you, and that you can be informed from heaven concerning how to respond to the things that are going on down here in this world. That's a completely different way to live. The emphasis should be on God and his word. Say amen to that. All right, number two, the power that lies within the word of God will attract opposition from the enemy. Now, this was that second type of soil. The Bible says that as soon as trouble comes or persecution comes for the word's sake, as soon as trouble comes or persecution comes because of the word that you receive. And so the word that you receive, the power that's lying in the word of God is a tremendous power, supernatural power, but that power is going to attract opposition from the enemy. So you should not be surprised when opposition comes because of the word that you receive. It's not like Satan is going to sit by idly and just watch as you maximize your purpose and potential. It's not like Satan is going to be like, oh, wow, she's really becoming the woman that she's called to be. No, Satan, we have a real enemy. And so he's going to do everything that he can to get you. Watch this. I made this point many times. It's worth repeating. Satan is going to do everything that he can to get you to give up, cave in, and quit. Now, let me explain. God is the sower. He sows his word seed down in our heart. Can Satan stop God? No. Okay. Can Satan stop the power of the word? No. So what can Satan do? He can get you frustrated. The reason why Satan likes to pull strings, the reason why Satan, while you're believing God and you announced it, and I told you that nothing in the kingdom happens until you announce it. And so you received the word from God and you announced it by faith and you said it before it happened and you decreed it and you declared it and you're saying what God said and you say, I'm going to say what God said until I see what God said. And all of that is fine. But you know that trouble is going to come. Persecution has come. You shouldn't be surprised when trouble and persecution come. And so now the enemy is going to do everything that he can. He's going to send people to you to annoy you. He's going to send people to you, that one person that gets on your last nerve. He's going to try to orchestrate things through people to close doors for you that you were trying to get open, to open doors for you that you wanted closed. All of this stuff he will do to try to get you frustrated to the point where you give up, you cave in, and you quit. Now, once again, can Satan stop the sower? No. Can Satan stop the power of the word, the seed? No. But what Satan does is get you frustrated. And if Satan can get you frustrated, then you give up. And if you give up on God, now Satan didn't stop you. You stopped you. You stopped yourself. Now, when you're yielded to the Father and God is working through you and you're living like John 14 and 10, Jesus said, it's the Father who lives in me. He gives me the words and he performs the work. And you know that you are a human conduit of the divine and God is flowing through you. Then at that point, if you yield to God and let God do what he does, then Satan can't stop you, because stopping you would mean stopping God, and God cannot be stopped. But you stop yourself when you allow yourself to get frustrated. When you allow yourself to give up, cave in, and quit. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 9, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap. Now, the Bible doesn't say, oh, you're going to get a harvest. No, the Bible says you're going to get a harvest if you don't give up. The Bible says you're going to get a harvest, you shall reap, if you do not give up. Now, what happens if you give up? No harvest. Whose fault is it? Not God's. It's your, we can't give up. One of the things that we have to learn in this parable is that trouble is going to come, persecution is going to come, and we just have to live with a mentality that I refuse to quit. I'm going to believe God. Now, even if the situation gets bad, it gets worse before it gets better. As soon as I announced it, it seemed like all hell broke loose. But guess what? I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to continue to believe God. Even if the situation looks like, oh, now that I announced it, it seems like, oh my God, everything is going wrong. I shall not be moved. They that trust in God, the Bible says, are like Mount Zion. What do we know about Mount Zion? It ain't going nowhere. I shall not be moved. That's how we're supposed to live. You got it? All right, number three. Understanding the word of God is critical. Now, this is the first type of soil. They get the word of God, they don't understand it. So understanding the word of God is critical. You will never maximize what you do not understand. So the good news, here's the good news. The author of the book, he lives inside of you if you're born again. The author of the book, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. And so just have a conversation with him, right? Let's say, for example, you get my book and I give you my book and then you're reading it and you know me. And let's say we're friends. You can call me and you could be like, hey, Rick, you got a minute? Yeah, what's up? Over here in chapter 3, when you wrote this in chapter 3, what did you mean? Oh, I can explain it to you because I'm the author of the book. Well, guess what? You have the author of the book living on the inside of you. So why don't you ask him? Oh, my God, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't know what this means. Oh, hold on for a minute. I got the author. Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, can I talk to you for a minute? What did you mean in 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Talk to the author. You have the author of the book on the inside of you. Say amen to that. Number four, while the same word was sown into many types of soil, so the same word can be sown into many people by the same God, the results are going to vary. The results are going to vary based on the person who receives it. Now, this is both a warning and a source of encouragement. It's a warning and a source of motivation. It's a warning for every believer to receive the word of God in faith, right? It's a warning because if not, the power of the word will be unproductive in your life. It's not that the word doesn't work. It's just that you didn't work, right? And so that's a warning to make sure that you work, that you receive the word of God in faith. But it's also a source of motivation because it means that, watch this, I can be in the same place at the same time and other people get the same word. And even if they don't provide faith, even if it doesn't work for them, that does nothing to me. I mean, so I can believe God and it will work for me. Here's the motivation. The motivation is that the lack of faith in other people is not going to stifle my faith. That the fact that other people may miss out on what God is saying doesn't mean that I have to miss out on what God is saying. That their lack of harvest doesn't mean that I'm going to have a lack of harvest. No. So I'm only going to be judged by my own heart. And so, yes, we all receive the same word, but I'm going to make sure that I'm one of those people that receive it with gladness. And I allow the word of God to produce the state of the word. Watch this, or the power of the word, the harvest that comes from the word will only be limited or enabled by the state of your own heart. Nobody else. So nobody else can dictate what happens in my heart. This is just between me and God. That's a source of motivation, but it's also a source of warning for those that don't put faith out there. So you can't just live off your parents' faith. You can't live off your pastor's faith. You got to live by your own faith. Say amen to that. All right, number five. In a time when minds are constantly distracted, the focus that you give the word matters. Now, one of the soils was about distraction and just thinking about other things. And today, especially young people today are multitaskers, at least that they think they are. And so they'll watch television, play a game on their tablet, and text their friends all at the same time. They're doing all this stuff simultaneously. And it's like, for them, they feel like it's hard to slow down and just do one thing. Here's the problem, though. When it comes to the word of God, God wants your focus. And so, you sometimes have to just give God your whole focus, your entire focus. This is exactly what the word of God requires. The word of God requires for you to meditate and medicate on it day and night. The distracted mind is likened to unproductive soil. And the distracted mind is an unproductive soil is not going to produce. So you got to give the word of God the priority and the focus that it deserves. And so you don't want your life to be full of other things. You must develop the discipline. Here's something that people don't talk about today. Discipline. You got to develop the discipline required to give God and his word your undivided attention. Divided attention is not the type of attention that God is looking for. Like my wife, she knows that I'm this way. Let's say I'm talking to her and she can do a bunch of things all at once. But if I'm talking to Isabella and Isabella's watching, I love you, babe. But if I'm talking to Isabella and I'm talking about something important, I'm like, oh, hold on, look at me. She could be texting her friend and listening to me at the same time. I don't like that. I don't like divided attention. She knows that. And I'm like, no, I'll start talking and then she starts texting and I'll stop. And she's like, go, you can go. You can, I'm listening. I'm like, mm-mm. Put that phone down. If I'm talking, I want you to look at me because what I'm saying is important. Now, you can say that's petty, whatever. I don't care. I'm just saying that that's me, right? I want undivided attention. If I'm talking about something, let me tell you something. God is the same way. He wants undivided attention. When he's talking to you, he doesn't want you to be on your phone, texting somebody else, playing Xbox, doing, you know, no. Sometimes God wants your undivided attention. And then we live in a society today where people just don't slow down long enough to give it to him. I mean, like make time to give God your undivided attention. One of the points that I make in the book is that you got to give God your attention. You should never get to the point where God has to get your attention. If God has to get your attention, you may not like the situation. Give God your attention so he doesn't have to get it. Say amen to that. All right, number six and finally, last thing for today. Faith comes in response to God's grace. So it's okay to come up with ideas. So the thorny ground is coming up with all of these selfish desires and selfish ideas. And so I'm not saying don't come up with ideas. I'm not saying don't be creative. God is a creative God. I'm not telling you to stop making plans. I'm just telling you that when you come up with an idea or desire or plan, just make sure you check with God first to make sure that it is in alignment with him, with his will for your life. Just ask him for clearance before you move out. So you need to know that the idea that you came up with actually was birthed in the heart of God and not just in your heart. Because if it was birthed in your heart and not in the heart of God, and if it's in alignment with what you want and not what God wants for your life, now you got a problem. So we need to know that the idea is in harmony with or in sync with God. Let me explain it to you this way. Adam and Eve, they were drawn away. They weren't drawn away by something bad. They were drawn away by something that they thought was good. Adam and Eve wanted to taste of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they weren't looking for evil. They were looking for the good part of the tree. They wanted to be like God. Satan tricked them because Satan was like, well, if you eat of that tree, you're going to be like God. And they was like, oh, I want to be like God. Now, here's another thing. Side note. They were already like God. And that's what Satan will do. Satan will always deceive you to try to get you to pursue something that you already have. And so, they were already like God. But my point is this. Here's my point. Adam and Eve were not pursuing something bad. They were pursuing something good. They wanted to be like God. They were pursuing something good, and they disobeyed God in the process. And a lot of times we mess up because we're pursuing something that we think is good. But just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. Just because it's good for somebody else doesn't mean that it's good for you. And so, unfortunately, Satan traps many believers with this scheme today. Countless believers are pursuing good projects. But if God didn't tell you to do it, then it's not good for you. It might be good for somebody else, but it's not good for you. And so it may not be in accordance or in alignment with his plan for your life. It may belong to somebody else. You can't make a demand on God for something that's not yours. Frustration sets in when you're making a demand on God for something that's not yours. And God is like, I can't give it to you because I didn't already give it to you from the foundations of the world. I mean, listen to what I'm saying. God made plans for you from the foundations of the world. Living by faith doesn't mean that you get to pursue anything you want and then add in Jesus' name to the end of it, or pursue anything you want and then go grab two or three scriptures and slap it on there and say, well, God, I'm praying in accordance with the word. No, you gotta pray in accordance with God's will for your life. And so some things may be good for somebody else. It's just not good for you. And so you can't release faith where there is no grace. And so grace precedes faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And so, in other words, you can't make God give you something that's not yours. You can't make God give you something that he didn't already give you from the foundations of the world. Now, you can pursue it, but now if you pursue it, you're going to be pursuing it by the sweat of your own brow. You're going to be pursuing it by human effort, human power, human ability, human strength. You're going to be trying to make it happen. Go. God will stand by and watch as you try to make it happen. And you can be like, well, this is a good thing, God. Why are you not helping me? This is a good thing. Yeah, but if I didn't tell you to do it, it may be a good thing for somebody else, but there's a difference between a good thing and a God thing. And so please don't call that faith. Faith comes in response to God's grace. Where there is no grace, there can be no faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And so the soil doesn't get to just produce whatever it wants. No, the soil is sitting there waiting for the sower to sow. And the sower sows, and whatever the sower sows, the word, whatever God says, boom, that's what the soil produces. The soil doesn't just get to what I want to produce, whatever I want to produce. No, that's the soil that is full of other things. One of the soils was full of other things. That was the thorny ground. Don't be like that. Don't allow your life to be full of other things. My mantra is the grace life. The grace life. Why is it the grace life? Why? Because it's a reminder that my life is all about him and God's grace. Whatever God wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. God already made plans for me from the foundations of the world. So my life is easy. My life is a life of discovery. And so whatever God wants for me is what I want. If he doesn't want it for me, I don't want it. All I want is what he wants for me. My life is all about him. And when you live this way, you will avoid competing priorities. That's the thorny ground. You won't have a life of competing priorities if what you want is only what God wants for you. Say amen to that. All right, that's enough for today. I've given you enough for today. All right, I still have a lot more to deal with on this week as we close out this series. So let's lift up our voice now. We're going to close out this message with a declaration of faith. I want you to lift up your voice and say this. Say, Father, this is a season of leveling up for me. The harvest that you want to produce through me is tied to the seed that you sow in me. So I thank you for taking the time to sow your word down into my heart. I declare that the power of your word is unleashed in my life because I give you and your word the right level of focus and priority. I meditate and I medicate on your word day and night. I allow your word to go deep into my life. As I do, I live life with divine clarity, focus, direction, and a sense of purpose. Living this way, my faith taps into your grace, and as a result, greater is coming for me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This is today's word, so please apply it and prosper. If you're not getting these messages and you want my notes and you can get my notes for free, go to todaysword.org, click on the subscribe button. You'll be able to get my notes in your email inbox every day for free. Do me a favor, leave me some comments in the chat. If this message has been a blessing to you, share this message right now on your social media, on your timeline, and with your friends. It's a Monday morning. Go into this week. Have an amazing week. I'll see you tomorrow morning. God bless you.